Good morning. Welcome to worship on this Christ the King Sunday. Everything that you need is printed in your bulletin this morning, and we'll begin with the order for confession and forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sin to God, who is faithful and just, and who has promised to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, have mercy on us. We confess to you that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not trusted you with our whole heart. We have not loved one another in deed and in truth. In your compassion, forgive our sin, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our light and truth. Amen. With joy, I proclaim to you that Almighty God, rich in mercy, abundant in love, forgives you all your sin and grants you newness of life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Help, save, and defend us, O God. Amen. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom. Praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb was slain, whose blood has freed and united us, we one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom. Praise and glory forevermore. Power and riches, wisdom and might, all honor and glory to Christ forever. Celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom. Praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. Sings for joy to the The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me in prayer. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Jeremiah 23:1-6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and there they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 46 will be read responsively, and I will begin. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, and shatters his spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The second reading is from Colossians 1:11-20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure anything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of the gospel and the singing of the Alleluia verse. Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Gospel for Christ the King Sunday is from Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 33. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any youth, children to come forward at this time.
So do you guys remember me? Yeah. I'm the lady that talks about being kind to others, huh? Well, I'll call myself a lady. That sounds so old. That's right. Thank you. I'm glad you went. Well, I got this letter a while ago. I subscribe to an app that's called the Daily Flame. And it's written by my inner pilot light. Do you guys know what a pilot light is? If you have a furnace, or if you use natural gas for your stove to cook with, there's a little tiny flame. Or in a Toyo stove, there's a little tiny flame that's always burning. So when you turn the gas on, or when you turn your furnace up, that lights something else. So this is an eternal flame. And we all have one. We all have an inner pilot light that is burning all the time. And I consider that Jesus to me. So I got this on October 14th, and I printed it off because it just struck me that it would really touch you guys. It reminded me of you. So I thought I would read it to you today because we all have this inner pilot light. So it says, "Hey, love bug, it's story time. It's a little tale to lift you up today. A child lost her 14-year-old dog and wrote a letter to God, attaching a photo to announce her dog's arrival in heaven so God would recognize the dog. She then covered the envelope with lots and lots of stamps because surely it would take a lot of postage to make it all the way to heaven. A few days later, a golden wrapped package arrived on the child's doorstep. In it was the photo she had sent, along with a book about how dogs go to heaven. It also included a letter from God announcing that the child's dog had arrived safely in heaven and was no longer sick, but instead was chasing tennis balls with angels. God returned the photo so the child would be able to keep it, now that she knew her dog had made it safely to heaven. The child's mother wrote up this story in a San Antonio newspaper as a way to thank the kind-hearted postal worker who must have gone out of their way to heal a child's grieving heart. Perhaps that child touched the postal worker's heart, igniting the inner pilot light of the postal worker and tripping the kindness wire to activate a random act of kindness. Or maybe, just maybe, something more mysterious sent that package. Maybe inner pilot lights are really angels in disguise. Maybe there's even an angel inside of you. What random act of kindness will you let me grant someone else today through you? Randomly generous, your inner pilot light. We all have that inner pilot light. And when you do a kindness for somebody else just because, it sparks their inner pilot light, huh? Pretty cool, huh? And do you notice in this story that the postal worker never signed their name? They never found out who that postal worker was. And that's the best part, is the feeling you get for being nice and doing a kindness for someone else without expecting a reward. Pretty cool, huh? Well, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and I want you to remember that doing kindness for others is a great thing to do, but I also want you to remember this Thanksgiving to be thankful for God's love for you, because you guys are all children of God, and you're special, and He loves you very much. Okay? So happy Thanksgiving. Do we have cookies today?
We do. Dear Jesus,
thank you for placing that inner pilot light in us.
Thank you for placing the inner pilot light in us.
May we let it shine every day.
May we let it shine every day.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And I invite the congregation to stand as you're able for our next hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, number 502.
Waterfall, my ransomed soul, believe.
May be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It seems a little odd that the scripture lesson, when we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, is the crucifixion of the King of Kings. I'd be drawn to a scripture lesson like when Jesus fed the 5,000, or healed the sick, or raised Lazarus from the dead. Aren't those miraculous things more king-like than being crucified between two criminals? These two criminals remind me of a story about two brothers. It's a story about a funeral, but I can't really tell it at a funeral, so I'll use it here. It's about a man who lived a terrible life. When he died, his brother, who also lived a terrible life, stopped by the church and talked with the local Lutheran pastor. He said he knew his brother wasn't perfect, but his family loved him and wanted to honor him with a dignified funeral. He told the pastor that if he could find it in himself to mention in the sermon that his brother was a saint, he'd make a $10,000 donation to the church. The pastor knew that this man was no saint, but he also knew that the church could use the donation. So during his funeral sermon, he said, "John was an absolute scoundrel. He cheated his business partner. He treated his wife and children terribly. He was dishonest at every opportunity. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Oh. How others might describe us as saints might be quite different. But Jesus sees us only as saints, always in need of forgiveness, and Jesus is always willing to give us a new chance and draw us closer. In our gospel, after the second criminal acknowledged his need and desired to start over by saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus responds, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Perhaps even on our best days, we desire to have the heart of the second criminal. For we know that Jesus is king and has a kingdom, and we want Jesus to remember us. Jesus wanted to hold him really close and give him a new chance. Do you ever wish that you could have a second chance? A second chance to say something different, or maybe not say something. A second chance to repair a relationship or make the most of some opportunity. A second chance to chase a dream you deferred or follow through on a responsibility you avoided. If you're anything like me, you can probably think of more than a few things for which you wouldn't mind a second chance. Jesus' death and resurrection means that we have a second chance whenever we come recognizing our need and asking for mercy. We always have available to us another opportunity. Jesus is not coming to be just one more king or ruler or president or prime minister or whatever. Rather, he's ushering in an entirely new order, a world characterized by hope and love, the kind of love that never wearies in extending and receiving second chances. We don't experience the fullness of the kingdom in this life, and that's what makes all of this hard. But we do get glimpses of it, foretastes of the kingdom, as our hymn and liturgy reminds us, especially each time we hear Jesus' words of absolution, that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Or when we hear of a promised paradise, not only for a criminal, but for us. Or in a meal of bread and wine given and shed for you. Jesus' death and resurrection ushers in a new kingdom where death does not have the final word. Psalm 46 provides us with a glimpse of what Christ's kingship is about. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. And then the words, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46 reminds us that God's reign has begun, but is not yet fulfilled in this world. God is with us, even when the world around us might seem to be falling apart. In the midst of terrorist attacks, senseless shootings, and other injustices, God is with us. In the midst of the loss of a loved one, God is with us. In the midst of partisan politics, God is with us. Doesn't mean we won't face challenges or sufferings, but it means that God is with us in the midst of them. Living in this now, but not yet, anticipation of Christ's kingship, we're encouraged by the verses in Colossians when Paul prays to Jesus for us, saying, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." Theologian Marion Kimball put it this way, I quote, "This inheritance in the kingdom of God includes all things. In these six verses of Colossians, the word for all appears eight times, hammering home the completeness of the work of the Son and how we need not fear anything. All things are or will be brought unto the reign of Christ's kingship. And we need fear nothing because we're already part of the kingdom, already guaranteed an inheritance." Listen again to these words from Colossians. "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God has pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross." Because of the cross, we can live in confidence that all the things that are so wrong in this world will be made right, and that Christ has already begun making them right. Since we've been invited to his kingdom, we're now part of the same mission to work for justice and the rightings of wrong, to work for peace and reconciliation in a world in need of healing and hope. Jesus didn't come to be just one more king or ruler or president, but rather Jesus is ushering in an entirely new order, a world and reign that his kingdom is characterized by forgiveness and love. I wonder if you have something for which you long to have a second chance from or for, a regret or disappointment that may weigh you down. Christ the King has granted to us a second chance and sent us from worship today free. Free to live into this new reality of following Jesus. Free to repair those relationships that may need repair. Free to amend our speech or actions. Free to give what we have in joy. free to live without the burden of regret that we may have carried for too long. Jesus died and rose so that you could release those burdens. In today's gospel, Jesus is on the cross. It's not the place where you'd look for a king. But then again, nothing is ever quite what you expect with Jesus. He's in between two criminals. One joins the soldiers and religious authorities who jeer him. The other, however, intervenes, protests Jesus' innocence, and asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. It's a humble request when you think about it. He asks neither to be rescued from his impending death, nor revenged for his suffering. Rather, he only wants to be remembered, to not be forgotten. Don't we all? And how does Jesus respond? He exceeds even the criminal's wildest expectations, declaring that today, even now, he would enter with Jesus into paradise. Today, Jesus is saying that you will be remembered, not forgotten. You too have a place in the kingdom. This reigning, everlasting King of Kings and Lord of Lords does the unthinkable and grants second chances to us all. Our King is not content to rule from afar, but rather comes to meet us in our weakness and need. Our King is willing to embrace all, forgive all, redeem all, because that's his truest and deepest nature. Thanks be to God, and may we in turn extend second chances to one another. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for our sermon hymn, Soon and Very Soon, 439.
Going to see the King. No more dying there.